Today's daf is Be'ah Daf Chof Dalid, and we are Be'ezus Hashem at the beginning of a new perek, the third perek of Masechtes Be'ah, the Mishnah on the banim of Daf Chof Gimel Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schos Refuah Shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Meshabah ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Etta Malka bas Miriam, Yaakov Aharon ben Fega, and Tamar Bas Chasida from a Rivka. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas Miral Bas Ramosha. So the third perek in Masechtes Be'ah, perek Ein Tzadin, picks up where the previous two prokim left off, and that is continuing to discuss Hilchis Yontif, specifically continuing to discuss the halacha that although one is not allowed to do malacha on Yontif, ach, however, asher ye'ochel l'chol nefesh, hu levado ye'yosel l'chem. Meleches oichol nefesh is mutter to be done on Yontif. On that note, says the Mishnah, ain't sodden, you're not allowed to trap, you're not allowed to catch dog and fish, min habei barim, from their enclosures. So an enclosure is the area that an animal lives. Fish live in ponds. Thus, you're not allowed to go fishing on Yontif. The ain noisen lifnei mezim. It's not only that, you're not allowed to feed fish on Yontif. Aval tzadin chaya va'oif min abibarim. You're allowed to trap a chaya or a bird from its enclosures. V'noisen lefnei mezoinus, and you're allowed to give them food. Rav Shimon Gamliel said, loy kol abibarim shavin. The Mishnah says, ein tzadin dogim min abibarim. However, tzadin chaya va'oif min abibarim. As if to say, all beibarim were created equally. Said Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's very much not the case. Rather, zeh haklal, this is the rule you have to know when it comes to these halachas. Kol ha'mechutzer tzeido, any enclosure where if you're going to try to get the animal out of the enclosure, you're still going to have to come up with some form of trapping. Aser the halachas, you're not allowed to take this animal out on Yontif. Shein ha'mechutzer tzeido, in the event that it doesn't require any tzeido mutter, this is something that you're going to be allowed to do on Yontif. So the topic of the Mishnah was very clearly tzad on Yontif. Now tzad, trapping an animal, is one of the lama test malachas. So based on that, you would think that it's something that you can't do on Yontif. Stating that, if you're trapping an animal because you want to eat the animal, you would argue that it's a maleches oichel nefesh. If it's a maleches oichel nefesh, then it should be mutter. From the Mishnah, it's mashma, that even if you're trapping the animal with tzorech oichel nefesh, still ain't sodim dogim and abibar biyantif. Still you're not allowed to trap fish. Even as it relates to chai v'oif, loy kol abibarim shavin, said Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So the question is, if the purpose of the tzad that you're doing in our Mishnah is trapping animals so that you're going to have food for Yontif, even if tzad is one of the lametas malachas, it's a malachas oichel nefesh, shouldn't it be mutter? So the first Rashi in the perek addresses this question, and it's worth seeing Rashi inside. It says Rashi, dibur ha-maskul ein tzadim dogin, afal gaf teshchita va'afiyya u'bishol avos malachai sein v'hutru l'tzorech Yontif. Says Rashi, that even though shchita, afiyya, bishol, these are melachos that are avos melachos, and still you see you're allowed to do them on Yontif. Why? Because it's oichel nefesh. So why should trapping an animal be any different? So Rashi says that you say that we've mentioned already. Taima, the reason is mishum di efshem erev Yontif, because these are things that you can't do before Yontif. And then Rashi goes on to explain that even though technically you can do them before Yontif, you can cook before Yontif, that's what you always do before Shabbos, but the food is more geschmack when you cook it fresh on Yontif. So it's for that reason, being that you have a benefit from doing the melach on Yontif, and it's a meleches oichel nefesh, al zeh nemar, that's when you're allowed to do malachas oichel nefesh on Yontif. Avol tzeida, says Rashi, efshel letzoyde mibaoid yoyim. You can trap it erev Yontif, just like you can trap it on Yontif. V'yanuchenu b'mtsudas, and you can leave it in its trap, in mayim, in water, v'layamos, the animal's not going to die, ulamacha yitleu, and you can take it tomorrow. So there's no reason to trap it on Yontif versus erev Yontif. There's no maila in trapping it on Yontif than there is versus trapping it on erev Yontif, and it's for that reason, even though technically the malach that you're doing is letzarech oichel nefesh, you don't have the heter of oichel nefesh. And this is one of the major caveats and asterisks as it relates to the idea that you're allowed to do meleches oichel nefesh on Yontif. That's only true if doing it before Yontif will come with an invoice. where either you can't do it before Yontif, or you can do it, but it won't be as geschmack if you do it before Yontif as it is by doing it on Yontif. If, however, there's no difference between doing the Malacha on Yontif versus doing the Malacha on Erev Yontif, even if you're doing the Malacha L'tzarech HaEichel Nefesh, you would not be allowed to do it on Yontif, and that's why the Mishnah says to do Tzad on Yontif, even L'tzarech HaEichel Nefesh, is going to be a problem. Stating that, what was the sheet of the Tanakhama of the Mishnah? Ain't Tzadim Dogen. You're not allowed to trap fish. However, Tzadim Chayev Oif. But you're allowed to trap a Chayev and an Oif. And again, very important. Where are you trapping this Chayev and Oif from? Min HaBeibarim. You're trapping them from their enclosure. Meaning, you're trapping it from the place that they live in. You're not going into the wild and trapping it from there. That's something, of course, you wouldn't be allowed to do. But you're taking it from their Beibarim. And that, the Mishnah says, is something you're allowed to do. Freit Gemara Akasha. V'reminu. If you have an enclosure where chayes and oifes live, the halacha is you're not allowed to trap animals from them on yontif. And you're not allowed to feed them. This tosefta, this brisa, is a head-on contradiction to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, sodin chayev oif min habibarim. The brisa says, ain't sodin chayev oif. So it's a kasha both Chaya achaya, and it's a kasha oif oif. So the Gemara says like this: Bishlam chaya achaya like kasha. Bishlam in the stiro as it relates to chaya achaya. As much as it's a blatant contradiction, but there's a way out because you could say harav Yehuda harav bona, because we know that there was actually a machloikis tanon as it relates to this idea. Whereas at the time we learned in the Mishnah, and this is a Mishnah Masech de Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says hatsod tzipa lemigdal. If somebody traps a bird inside a migdal, inside a closet, vitzvila bayis, or if somebody traps a deer inside a house, chayev. The halacha is he's chayev mishum tzad. Now the Gemara is medayik labayis to the mechayev avol bebarim loy. It sounds like the only time somebody's chayev for trapping a tzvi, a deer, is if he traps him inside a house. But let's say he wouldn't trap him in a house; he would trap him inside a beber, inside its enclosure. That's not as trapped as is a house. It sounds like you wouldn't be chayev. The chacham and say tzipor lemigdal. We agree. The only time you chayev for trapping a bird is if you trap it inside a closet. But the tzvi, as it relates to a deer, legino, even if you trap it in a garden, ulachatzer, or in a yard, ulebeibarim, or in its beibar, even that would be considered trapped. So we have a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. If somebody would trap a tzvi is a chaya, inside its beibar, would it be considered tzad or would it not be considered tzad? Rabbi Yehuda says it wouldn't be considered tzad. The Chachamim say it would be considered tzad. Zok the Gemara, l'chura, this machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim maybe is the teretz to the stira between our Mishnah and the Tosefta. Why? Our Mishnah and the Tosefta was discussing not trapping a chaya into a beibar, but trapping a chaya from a beibar. What's the core of that question? Meaning, what would be the shayla? Are you allowed to take a tzvi out of its beibar, or you're not allowed to take it out of its beibar? If you look at the beibar as being trapped, meaning when the tzvi is in the beibar, it is currently in a state of tzad, it's in a state of it being trapped, then if you take it from there, you're not doing tzad, because it already was tzad. If it's already trapped, you can't trap it again. If, however, when it's in the beibar, we don't look at it as being trapped, then if you take it from the beibar, then l'chura, that in and of itself would be the act of trapping. In other words, b'milim acherim, our Mishnah that said tzadin chayev ha'oif min ha'beibarim seems to be of the opinion that a tzvi that's inside a beibar or a chaya that's inside a beibar is in a state of being trapped. Therefore, you're allowed to take it from the beibar because you're not being moisef any trapping because it already is trapped. Whereas the brisa that says beibarim shal chayev ha'oif is ain't tzadin mehem beyantiv would seem to be of the opinion that when a chaya is inside a beibar, it's not considered trapped. As a result, when you now take it, you are trapping. In other words, the stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa is really whether a chaya that's inside its beibar, is it in a state of trapped or is it not in a state of trapped, says the Gemara. Oh, that's what the machloikis is, gevaldik. I can tell you that's mamish, the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. And if that's the case, I'll tell you that one Mishnah is going according to the Chachamim, whereas the Tosefta, the Braisa, is going according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim that say that you're not allowed to trap a tzvi, you're not allowed to trap an animal into a beibar, they obviously hold that the beibar is trapped. If the beibar is trapped, then it would come out of kula. You'd be allowed to take the chaya out of the beibar. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda that said that you're allowed to trap an animal into a beibar, it's only tzvi labayis that you're going to be chayv, so he obviously holds that the beibar is not considered trapped. If the beibar is not considered trapped, so therefore you would not be allowed to be tzad the Bechaya from the Beber. So the Gemara says, as it relates to the contradiction between the Mishnah and the Tosefta regarding Chaya, Chaya, I can tell you like Gasha. I can tell you the Mishnah is going according to the Chachamim, the Braisa is going according to Rabbi Yehuda, Elo Ifas, Ifas, Gasha. But as it relates to Ifas, Ifas, the same stira that we have between the Mishnah and the Braisa as it relates to Chaya, Chaya, we have as it relates to Ifas, Ifas. The Mishnah said, Sodim Chaya, Va'if, Menabe Barim. The Braisa said, Beibarim, Shal Chaya, Shal Ifas, Ain't Sodim, Mehem, Beyantiv. So you have a flat out stira, and for that there's no Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Because as it relates to what the definition of trapping is regarding a tzipor, regarding a bird, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim both said tzipor lamigdol. You have to trap it into a closet. We don't have a machloikis over there that we can say one is going according to one tana, the other is going according to the other tana. So as it relates to the stira chaya chaya, you could tell me it's totally in this machloikis tanon. But as it relates to the stira that we have, the oif a oif, what are you going to do for that? So the Gemara says, v'chitem, you'll tell me, hanami lakasha, maybe there's a way out. Habibeba makura, habibeba sheina makura. Maybe the Mishnah and the Braisa are talking about two different types of beibarim. Right? The Mishnah is just speaking in very general terms. Avul tzadin chaya v'oif mina beibarim. Beibarim shal chay v'shal oifos ain't tzad mehem. Maybe one is talking about where the beibar had a roof on top. The other is talking about where the beibar did not have a roof on top. Which is which? Our Mishnah is talking about where there was a roof on top. Being that there was a roof on top, so when it was inside the beibar, it was already trapped. So if I take it out of the beibar, I'm not trapping it. Therefore, I'm allowed to do it on yontif. Whereas the Brice is talking about where the beibar was not roofed. Being that it was not roofed, so it's not trapped. So when I take it out of the beibar, then I'm trapping it. But the Gemara says it can't be, because v'habayis the kebeibar makura dami. A house is a beibar makura. A house would be the equivalent of an enclosure and that is covered with a roof. A house has a roof on top of it. Ubein the Rabbi Yehuda, ubein the Rabbanon. Tzipor lamigdolin v'habayis loy. You see, both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon hold that if somebody catches a tzipor inside a house, it's not considered tzad. It's only considered tzad if it's inside a closet. That means, l'chura, what comes out from Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon, and they're the only two shitas we know on this whole sugya, on this whole topic, is that if you have a enclosure, that's makura, as it relates to a bird, it's not considered trapped. If it's not considered trapped, then it should be always usur to take the oif out. In other words, we have a steer between a Mishnah and a Braisa, and to add a little knach, we have a kash on the Mishnah. Because at the end of the day, what kind of bibur can we possibly be talking about where the halacha is that when the oif is inside this bibur, we look at it as if it's trapped. We have a machlokes Rav Yehuda and the Chacham and what the definition of tzad by a tzipor is, and they both said tzipor l'migdol. It has to be literally inside a closet, but if it's stam in a bibur, even if it's enclosed, it's going to for sure not be considered trapped. If that's the case, when you take it from there, it should be considered trapped. How could the Mishnah say tzad in oif? So the Gemara said, Amar Rabba Barafuna, Rabba Barafuna said, you have to say, Hocha b'tzipa d'roira skinon she'inim akabelos maris. There's two different types of birds. There are birds that are a little bit more controllable, and there are birds that are not so controllable. In fact, our Mishnah is talking about one type of bird, and the tzipar, the migdol, that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim were talking about, was talking about a different type of bird. They were discussing a bird that's a tzipar durar. She'enim kabelos maris, it's very hard to control. The Tanya of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught in the Shiva, Rabbi Shmuel, lama dekishma tzipar durar, why is that bird called a tzipar durar? She'dara bebayis kibasad, because it lives in its house the way it lives in the field. Right, a tzipar that's in the field, it's a kimtz, a geit, it's flying all over the place, it does whatever it wants. There's certain birds that when they're in a house, they live the same way. Other birds, when they're in the house, they're a little more domesticated. They're going to behave, they're a little bit more cultured, they behave a little bit better. So the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, that both said that the only way to trap a bird is by getting it inside a migdol, stam in the house, that's not considered trap. That's talking about a tzipor d'ra. Whereas our Mishnah that said, tzadin chaya v'oif min habeibarim, so you see that when the oif is in the bibar, it's already trapped, so when you take it from there, it's not considered trapping. That's talking about a tzipor that's not d'ra. It's talking about a tzipor that you can control. It's talking about the bibar was makura. If the bibar was makura, it's in a state of trap. So by you taking it from it, you're not being moisif any trapping. But just to come full circle, as it relates to the contradiction, the stira that we started with, between the Mishnah and the Brice in the Mishnah says you're allowed to catch a knife. The Brice says you're not allowed to catch a knife. The Teretz is both are talking about where the Beibar was a Makura. One's talking about a Tzipar Durar, the other's talking about where it was a regular Tzipar. If the Tzipar is a Tzipar Durar, then you're not allowed to take it because that in and of itself constitutes trapping. It's already trapped in the house. Trapped in the house is not called trapping. Just like Yehuda and the Chachamim say, the only way you can yechaya for trapping an oif is if you trap it in a migdol, so this is not considered trapping either. The Mishnah that says, tzadin oif, that's talking about where it's not a tzipor d'ror, therefore, it's considered trapped when it's in the bias. If it's considered trapped when it's in the bias, so therefore, taking it out would not be considered an issue. So again, we had a stira chaya achaya, we had a stira oifa oif. Had we answered a stira chaya achaya, the Mishnah is going according to the Chachamim, the Brayis is going according to Rebbe Yehuda. Had we answered the stira oifa oif, the Mishnah is talking about a tzipor that's not a tzipor dror, a domesticated tzipor, whereas the Brayis is talking about a tzipor dror. Says the Gemara Hashatas Tachi, now that we just answered the stira oifa oif. One is talking about a tzipor dror, the other is talking about not a tzipor dror. Chaya chaya nami le kasha, we can revisit the kasha chaya chaya, we can answer it a little bit differently. Habe beber katan, habe beber gadol. Meaning, if you want to start being machalik between different types of birds, we might as well be machalik between different types of beepers, different types of enclosures. And therefore, you could say that the Mishnah that says that you're allowed to catch a chaya from the beber, that when it's inside the beber, it's already considered trapped, that's talking about where it was a smaller beber. Whereas in the Braisa that says that if you would catch a chaya from a beber, it's also to do on yontif, meaning when it's inside the beber, it's not considered trapped, that's talking about where it was a beber gadol. So a beber katan is considered trapped. A biber gadol is not considered trapped. So the Gemara says, "Hechadami biber katan, hechadami biber gadol." What does it mean? A biber katan, a biber gadol. Amar Avashi, Avashi said, "Kol hechad ra ta basra umotala bechad shachya." If you can catch this animal in one shot, meaning it's a small area, it's so small that one leap, one lunge, you're going to be able to get it. That's considered a biber katan. Anything bigger than that is a biber gadol. Inami kol hechad ika uktzi uktzi biber gadol. If there's a lot of corners where the animal can hide, go try catching an animal. So if there's little crevices and little corners where it can hide, that's considered a biber gadol. So biber gadol doesn't necessarily mean square footage, but it means if there's an area for it to hide, that's a biber gadol. Everything else is a biber katan. Inami, a third pshat, kol hechad the nafli tula the kasli adad the biber katan. If the shade of the two walls touch each other, so a wall casts a shade. If the two walls are so close to each other that the shades touch, that's a biber katan. Idach anything else, biber gadol would be considered a biber gadol. What Rav Shimon Gamliel saying in the Mishnah? He said loy kol habeibarin shoven. Not all bibers are the same. Zeha klal, kol ha-mechusat zeyda osa, v'sheina mechusat zeyda mutar. So the Gemara is going to explain a little bit better what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel's shita is. But what was the core of what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said? He said, loy kol ha-beibarin shavin. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Yehuda, said in the name of Shmuel. Halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, man, not all beavers are the same. Amar Abaya, Zabaya told Rav Yosef, halacha, mechlad ha-pligi, you're saying that halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. As if to say there's a machloikis, but you should know, FYI, we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. As if to say there's a machloikis. There's no machloikis. Rav Shimon Gamliel wasn't arguing with the Chachamim. Everybody agreed. Now, how do you know everybody agreed? How did Abaya come with such a tainta to Rav Yosef? Halachak Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? You're suggesting that the Chachamim argue with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel? Chachamim don't argue with Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. So Rashi says very gishmak. Rashi says, based on the last Gemara that we just learned, with the Gemara made an Akimta, that the reason you're allowed to be tzad a chaya from a biber is because we're talking about a biber katan. If it was a biber gadol, you wouldn't be able to. That was the teretz that the Gemara said, the maskana between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether you could be tzad chaya on yontif, you can't be tzad chaya on yontif. It depends on the biber. Biber katan, yeah. Biber gadol, no. So what do you see? Loi kol habeibarim shavin. So Rav Shimon Gamliel obviously is being mefarish to Chachamim. Can't be arguing with the Chachamim, because Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing to Chachamim, that means Rav Shimon Gamliel is being mechadesh loy kala beibarim shavim, which means the Chachamim hold all the beibarim are shava. So everything we just said up until this point just got knocked out. That means we lost the teretz that we said to the stira chaya chaya. So it says Rashi, that's why Abaya came to Rav Yosef halacha michlal de pligi. That was the last Gemara. For sure, the Chachamim also hold that. Amalesi told him, my nafgalach minor. I hear. But did I say something so bad? At the end of the day, I said that Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So I said that it's a machloikis Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim, and we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. You wanted me to say that everyone agrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel, and Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. At the end of the day, la halacha, the halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel. So what difference does it make? Amalei, Sabai told Rav Yosef, Gemara, Gemara, Samartate, what, this is a niggin that we're singing over here? Or, what, this is Torah. And because this is Torah, so we have to make sure we get it right. What do you mean? The my nafkamina. Nafkamina is. Are we saying ripe shine in the Mishnah? We're not saying ripe shine in the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to be mefarish the Chachamim, or Rav Shimon Gamliel is coming to argue with the Chachamim. Either way, Rav Shimon Gamliel said loy kol habeibarin shavim, and we know that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not coming to argue with the Chachamim. He's coming to explain the Chachamim. There's a difference between a biber katan and a biber gadol. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel gave us a rule. He said zehakla. This is a rule to have in mind when it comes to these halachas. Kol ha-mechusar tzeda, any animal that requires tzeda, asa. You're not allowed to pull that animal out on Yontif. She'enu b'chusat seid, if it doesn't require it seid, the mutter, it's going to be mutter. So the Gemara says, heichidami b'chusat seid. What does it mean? Pasha, what's the taich of the words of Rav Shimon Gamliel, Amr Rav Yosef? Rav Yosef said, Amr Rav Yehuda, in the name of Rav Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, kol she'omrin hava metzuda u'netzudena. If you're trying to catch this animal and you sit down with a group of people in a huddle and you come up with a strategy of exactly how you're going to catch this animal, if you say hava mitsuda unitsudenu, let's go bring a trap and let's figure out how we're going to trap it, that's considered mechusat seida. If you just go pull it out, maybe you have to fight with it a little bit, but you don't say hava mitsuda unitsudenu, you don't need a whole plan, so then that's considered not mechusat seida. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya asked the kasha on this rule. He said vahavazim geese, the tarnagoylan, chickens, sha'oimrim, hava mitsuda nitsudenu. The Mitzvah says, if you try to catch a goose, you try to catch a chicken, you better have a plan. The Tanya, we link to the Brisa, atzad avazim, the tarnagoylan. If somebody is tzad, geese, or tarnagoylan, the yoine hardisois, these were the doves of King Herod, Potter, that lach is his Potter, meaning you're allowed to trap these things on Yontif. Now, if you're going to tell me that the rule is anything that's mechusat seida, you're not allowed to trap on Yontif, and the definition of mechusat seida is that you need a plan. These are things that you need a plan. Amar Rabbi Bar Rafuna, Amar Shmuel, so Rabbi Rafuna answered in the name of Shmuel. He said, "Alo bo lekluvan leerev, v'alolu ein bo lekluvan leerev." It's true. If you want to catch a goose, you need a plan. If you want to catch a tarnagol, you have to have some sort of strategy. However, there's no problem of tzad with these animals. You know why? Because these animals always come home. At night they come home. They're born l'kluvan l'erev. So during the day they may give you a run for your money, but at night they're eventually going to come home. And therefore, even if you catch them during the day, it's not considered tzad. Tzad only is where I'm trapping something that otherwise I'd have a hard time getting. It's true. At the moment that I'm trying to get it, I'm putting up a fight. But lemaisa, they're going to end up coming home. So Zok Rashi, being that they're going to end up coming home, even if I trap them during the day, it's not considered so. Feita Gemara, is that true? Barayoni Shoivach, Viyoni Aliyah, the Bon Lekluvim Erev. These are animals that come home at night. Tanya, and we learned to the Brisa. Atzad Yoni Shoivach, Viyoni Aliyah, Vitziporim Shekinenu Betapichim. Tziporim are birds, Shekinenu, Miloshin Kan, Miloshin Mesechtes Kingdom. They made a nest, Betapichim, inside jars, Bebirois, in a bira, inside a castle, chayev, halacha is your chayev. Why? Because it's considered tzad. But faith the Gemara, these animals, these creatures, they come home at night. If they come home at night, so why is it considered tzad? If this is your new rule, anything that comes home at night is not considered tzad. Nice svara. So why is that tzad? Elo amar Rabbi Barafuna Rishmul. See, he tweaked it a little bit. Alo bal mekluvim la'erev umizaynoysam alecha. Those things, the goose, the chicken, and the doves of King Herod, not only do they come home at night, but they rely on you for parnasa. They rely on you for mezaynus. So because they rely on you for mezaynus, therefore, if you trap them, it's not considered trapping because they were anyways going to come home at night. These other things, they come home, but they rely on you for mezaynus, and as a result, that's still considered trapping. Ramori said, Hani avidi lirbuye. Vahani lo yavidi lirbuye. So the difference is, these yoyni shayvich yoyni aliyah and siparim shakininu, they come home at night, but even when they come home, you still have to catch them. They still slip away from you. As opposed to the other animals, they come home and they just go to bed. They don't slip away. So therefore, they're always in a state of tzad. Feitimar kulu nam yavidi lirbuye. Every animal, try to catch a bird, he's always going to try to slip away. So the Gemara says, you're right. L'kluvam kamrino yavidi lirbuye. What's unique about these things are, is that even when they're in their nest, they're still maneuvering around. They're still going right and going left, and they're juking, and they're not so easy to get. And as a result, these are things that are not considered in a state of tzad. The bottom line is, the topic of the first part of the daf was trapping animals on Yontif. Now, you're trapping them with oichel nefesh, so you would have thought, of course it's mutter. It's a malachas oichel nefesh. Why is it different than shechting an animal? Why is it different than cooking? Why is it different than baking? Why is it different than carrying? So, of course, this is something you're allowed to do. The teretz is, being that you could have done it before Yontif, it doesn't fall into the category of malachas oichel nefesh. Therefore, we have a whole sugya. What's considered trapping? What's not considered trapping? If I go into my enclosure and I pull an animal out, is that tzad or is it not tzad? The Mishnah said there's a difference between a fish versus a chaya and a knife. We had a stira, kasha chaya, chaya, kasha, oifa, oif. We realized that there's different types of birds. We realized that there's different types of bibers, loy kola bibar and shavim. There's bigger ones and there's smaller ones and there's ones with these little nooks and crannies and there's a whole bunch of different variables and elements that need to be taken into consideration. There are animals that come home at night. There are animals that come home, but They don't rely on you for mizoinis. They're animals that even when they're in their nest, they're still making moves and they're still hard to catch. And based on all these different technicalities, a world that we're not so familiar with today, but something that were very once upon a time was super shchiach and something that everyone that had a farm completely understood, these were things that were very, very halacha l'maaseh. Zok the Mishnah Vayta. So we're going to go me'inyan le'inyan. So somebody laid out a trap to catch a chaya, an oif, a fish. Erev yontif. The halacha is, if you want to now eat what you caught on yontif, you can do it. Only if you know for sure that these animals were trapped erev yontif. However, if you have a suffix that maybe they were trapped on yontif, you would not be able to eat it. Now, what would be the issue? Muktzah. The issue is you're only allowed to eat on Yontif, something that was prepared before Yontif. So if these animals were trapped before Yontif, so they're Mukhan, they were prepared already before Yontif. If, however, when Yontif came, the laws of Muktzah go into effect, Bein Hashmasha. So if Bein Hashmasha is Yontif, these animals were not trapped yet, so they weren't Mukhan. They weren't Mukhan, so therefore, even if you trapped them on Yontif, you wouldn't be allowed to eat it. So again, what does the Mishnah say? You had traps of Chayas, Oifis, and Doggy. You're not doing Tzad. The first Mishnah, we talked about doing tzad. You're not doing tzad right now. You laid out the traps before Yontif. You did everything like Atchila. Now you show up Yontif in the morning. You want to eat. Oh, look at that. That's an oif. I'd love to eat this oif today. It'd make a good appetizer. So that's the question. Am I allowed to take it? Am I not allowed to take it? If it was caught before Yontif, for sure. It's kosher. It's mukhan. You didn't do the tzad on Yontif. What's the problem? If, however, you have a suffix that maybe it was caught on Yontif, so now you're running into a muktzah problem, then it's going to be an issue. Says the Mishnah, Umaisa, there was a story, Benachri Yechad, and Eina Yehudi, Shehevi dog and Rabbi Gamliel. He brought fish to Rabbi Gamliel on Yontif. Amar, and Rabbi Gamliel said, Mutar in him, really you're allowed to eat them. Elish, Ein Ritzayin, the Kabbalah Menu. However, I don't want to be Mekabel. Now, Rabbi Gamliel said it was mutter to eat these fish. Rabbi Gamliel didn't know if the fish were caught on Yontif or they were caught Erev Yontif. It sounds like Misafik. He held that this is something you're allowed to eat. He personally didn't take it. He said, Ein Ritzayin, the Kabbalah Menu. Rashi says two words, Shani Soinoi. Rabbi Gamliel didn't like this person, and as well, he didn't want to take a matana from him. But the point is, Rabbi Gamliel said that be'etzem, this is something that you'd be allowed to take. Now, if you notice, the reisha of the Mishnah and the seifa of the Mishnah seem to contradict itself. Why? What did the reisha say? If you laid out a trap and you caught an animal, you don't know if the animal was caught on Yontif or Erev Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it. Misafik, you can't eat it. What did Rabbi Gamliel say? There was a story where somebody brought fish to Rabbi Gamliel, the Amar, and he said, Mutarene. He said, you're allowed to eat it. Now, he personally didn't want to accept the gift because he didn't like the person. But at the same time, he held it was mutter. Now, Rabbi Gamliel didn't know if it was caught before Yontif or after Yontif. Kanir, Rabbi Gamliel held that if you have a suffix, if it was caught on Yontif before Yontif, the halacha is it's mutter. So there seems to be a stira from the halacha of the Mishnah and the story that the Mishnah brings. The halacha of the Mishnah is if you have a suffix, if it was caught on Yontif or before Yontif, you can't eat it. In other words, suffix muktza, asa. From the story with Rabbi Gamliel, it would seem to imply, if you have a suffix, if you caught it before Yontif, after Yontif, you're allowed to eat it. Suffix muktzah is mutter. Faith to Gemara, maisa lister. The derech of the Tana is not to do that. Usually, if I tell you a halacha, and then a story, the story is usually going to support the halacha, not contradict the halacha. Over here, we're telling a halacha that if you have suffix muktzah, you're not allowed to eat it. And then there was a maisa with Rabbi Gamliel who said, betzem, you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara says, must be, the only way to get out of this is chasure mechzer vachitani. Must be, we're missing some language in the Mishnah. If we insert a little bit of language, everything will be nice. And this is the way you have to read the Mishnah. Safik Mukhan Aser. The Mishnah said that Mitzutas Chai V'Oif V'Dog and Shasam Meir of Yontif. If you don't know if it was caught before Yontif or on Yontif, you're not allowed to eat it. For Rabbi Gamliel, here's the insert matter. He said it's Mutter. Umaisa Nami. There was a story that supported Rabbi Gamliel. V'Nachri Yachal. Shehevi Dabon Rabbi Gamliel V'Amim Mutarim Hein. Elish In Ritzoyni L'Kabali Menu. So why is it not a Maisa Lister anymore? Because we just added words. We added three words. V'Rabban Gamliel Matter. Once we mention Rabbi Gamliel Matter, now the story is not a Maisa Lister. The story is a Maisa in support of Shita's Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, a Machloikis Rabbi Gamliel in the Chachamim, Safik Muktza, Safik Mukhan. You're allowed to, or you're not allowed to. According to the Chachamim, you're not allowed to. According to Rabbi Gamliel, you can. And the Mishnah brought a story, not Lister, but to support the Shita of Rabbi Gamliel, that it's Mutter. Amrav Yudah Mashmul, Ein Halachik Rabbi Gamliel. The Halach is not like Rabbi Gamliel. In other words, Safik Muchan, Safik Mukta is a problem. Ike the Masni Laha. The Tanya went to the Brisa. Safik Muchan, Rabbi Gamliel Mater, Rabbi Yeshua Oyser, it's the same Rabbi Gamliel. Here Rabbi Yeshua is the one that said Aser, and Om Rabbi Yudah Mashmul, Halachik Rabbi Yeshua, it's the same exact thing, that it's going to be Aser. Ike the Masni Laha. Some had it on the following. The Tanya went to the Brisa. Shoichtin min Hanagorin, you're allowed to take animals, Chayos from the Nagorim. Rashi says Nagorim is just a fancy word for Bibarim. So, Nagarin is a Bibarim fame of what we saw in the beginning of the daf. So, you're allowed to take an animal out of a Bibar and you're allowed to shecht it. But if you take it out of a trap, that's something that you're not allowed to do. And the reason is, Rashi says, because if you take it out of the trap, there's a suffix. Maybe it was trapped on Yontif, and if it's a suffix, it was trapped on Yontif, the halacha is it's also bachidur. Shimon Allah's, Imrav, Shimon Allah's, it said it depends. But it's on Mikul Kolin. Me'erev Yontif, if you come and you see the trap was messed up, Erev Yontif, Yodushim Erev Yontif Nitzoidu. I mean, if Erev Yontif, you saw evidence that the animal must have been caught already Erev Yontif, so we assume that it was caught Erev Yontif. Mutar, you'd be allowed to eat the food on Yontif. Bamet Samik will call me Yontif. If, however, Erev Yontif, everything looked fine, and then on Yontif you showed up, and it seems like there was a breach, so it looks like the animal was caught on Yontif. Yodushim Yontif Nitzoidu. That's evidence that it was caught on Yontif. Asurim. And it's going to be Aser. So the Gemara is going to focus on Rav Shimon Allah's Shita for a second. What does Shimon Allah say? If you came, if you have evidence that it was called Erev Yontif, then it's Mutter. Then it's Amukta. It was already there, Erev Yontif. If you have evidence that it was called on Yontif, then it's a problem. So the Gemara says, Hagufa Kasha. Amrit Bal Matzim could call him Erev Yontif, Bidushim Erev Yontif Nitzoidu. If you came and you found evidence that this went down Erev Yontif, so then the Allah is it's mutter. Time of the Baal Matzim Kukol. It sounds like the only reason it's mutter is because there's clear evidence that something happened Erev Yontif. Hasfeika, but let's hint it be a Safik, you can't really tell Asurim. Sounds like then it would be also Ema Seifa. Baal Matzim Kukol. If you found that it was Mikulkol, but Yontif on Yontif, you do it Yontif Nitzaydo. If there's evidence that it happened on Yontif, then it's going to be a problem. Time of the Baal Matzim Kukol. It sounds like the only time it's a problem is if you found evidence that it actually happened on Yontif. Hasfeika, if there's a Safik when it happened, Me Erev Yontif Nitzaydo, then we assume Lakula. That maybe it happened there of Yontif, Umutarim, it's going to be Mutter. In other words, Rav Shimon Elazar seems to be contradicting himself as far as the Mashmois, the inference, what would be if you have a Safik, whether it was called Erev Yontif, Safik if it was called on Yontif. So the Gemara says, Hachi Kama, you have to tweak Rav Shimon Elazar's Lashon a little bit, and it's all going to make sense. Ba Umatza Mikul Kalim Erev Yontif, if you found that Mikul Kal Erev Yontif, Biyodua Shemei Erev Yontif Nitzaydu Umutarim, then it's for sure that it was caught Erev Yontif, then it's going to be Mutter. Hasveiko, what would be if it's a Safik? Nasa, these are the extra words. Kamisha Nitzoidu B'Yontif. We look at it as if it was caught on Yontif. Vasurim, it's going to be Aser. But the bottom line is, you have to add a little bit of language. And what is the final version of Rav Shimon Elazar? Rav Shimon Elazar is saying, if you have a Safik when it was caught, it's going to be Aser. If there's evidence that it was caught Erev Yontif, then it's going to be Mutter. And in the third version of this halacha, Amr Rav Yehuda Mashmuel, Halachic Rav Shimon Elazar. What does that mean? Halachic Rav Shimon Elazar, that Safik Muktzah is going to be a problem, but also Halachic Rav Shimon Elazar, that if you have clearly defined evidence that this all happened on Erev Yontif, then it's going to be Muktzah. So again, our Mishnah is discussing a halach of Safik Muktzah. Safik Muktzah, is it Mutter? Or Safik Muktzah, is it going to be Aser? And based on the Chasurei Mechzer V'Achik Tani, in the Mishnah was a Machlokes Tana, the Tanakama, the Chachamim of the Mishnah hold that Safik Muktzah is Aser. Rabbi Gamliel said Safik Muktzah is Mutter. The Gemara brought other Brises with Tanan discussed the same exact Shaila. A Safik Muktzah on Yontif is a Mutter, is it Aser? And all three of these Machlokesin had a version of Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, that the halacha is that Safik Muktzah is going to be Aser. The obvious question is, why is it so pasha that Safik Muktzah is Aser? Muktzah, L'chur, is an Issa de Rabbanon. It's not an Issa de Raisa. So if Muktzah is only an Issa de Rabbanon, why don't we say Sveika de Rabbanon L'kula? So we talked a little bit about this at the very beginning of the Masechta, and what emerged in the beginning of the Masechta was that it could be Muktzah is a Dover Sheyesh Le'matirin. And just like a davar sheyesh le'matirim, the halach is afilu be'elof le'batal. If you have a taruvah of iser v'heter, and the iser is a davar sheyesh le'matirim, so there's a din that davar sheyesh le'matirim, afilu be'elof le'batal. And like Rashi epically says in Be'ed Afgimel Amid Beis, because achet neichlenu be'iser, teichlenu be'heter. Why eat it be'iser if you could eat be'heter? Bittul allows you to eat a davar aser, but that's only if you have no choice. If I can wait till tomorrow and then it's going to be mutter anyways, I might as well wait for tomorrow. And what emerged from the sugya was that it could be Sveikadur Abana Lakula have the same svara. That even though Sveikadur Abana is Lakula, but if there's a way to eat this thing that you want to eat without getting involved in a shayla of sveikat rabbanu l'kula, so actually techlenu be'isa, techlenu be'heta, you might as well do that. Muktz is only a problem on Shabbos. It's only a problem on Yontif. After Shabbos, after Yontif, there's no muktz problem anymore. So it comes out, muktz is inherently a davash yeshel matirim, davash yeshel matirim, afilu be'elofle batal, davash yeshel matirim, you don't have the halacha of sveikat rabbanu l'kula. And this is obviously a much bigger sugya, but just a psicha as it relates to Safik Muktzah. Shouldn't it be a Sveikid Rabbanan? Based on the sugya that we had in the beginning of the Masachta, could be this falls into the category of Dovashi Yesh Lamatir. Today's related raid bite is going to be from Masechtes Sukkah, Daflamites. It's called Dalad Minim, the ultimate Yeheshme Rabbah. The idea that the Dalad Minim represent the four oisiyos of the Shem Havaya, and that when we take the Dalad Minim together and we do the Nanuim, what we're doing is expressing Amen Yeheshme Rabba Mevarach L'Olam Uli Olme Olmaya, and involved an in-depth analysis of the classic Gemara, Masechtes Brachos, Taf Gimel Amud Aleph, one of the first Gemaras in Shas. On that note, Dalet Minim, the ultimate Yeheshmei Rabba. So just one Ha'ara, the Ha'ara that we didn't have the opportunity to mention on Friday's daf, and that is more generally related to Dalet Minim, and more generally related to Perek Lulav HaGazel. So we mentioned in the introduction to Perek Lulav HaGazel that when the Torah mentions the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, it delineates two mitzvahs. Shtayim sheim achas. It says, ulekachtem lechem bayoyim arishayim. Priyetz hadar. Kapoiz tmarim. Vanafetz avoyz. Va'arvei nachal. Usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yom. The beginning of the pasuk says, ulekachtem lechem bayoyim arishayim. There's a mitzvah to take dalad minim bayoyim arishayim, the first day of Sukkot. And then the end of the pasuk says, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yom, which Chazal said, means you should take dalad minim lefnei Hashem 7 days. So there's a mitzvah of Dalet Minim a day raisa 1 day, ulakachtem lechem b'yom rishon, and there's a mitzvah of Dalet Minim 7 days, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yom. What's the difference? Usmachtem shivas yomim is lefnei Hashem alekeichem. In the Beis HaMikdash, when you're lefnei Hashem, then there's a mitzvah to take Dalet Minim for 7 days. However, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, begvuin, it's only 1 day. Then it's ulakachtam lechem b'yom rishon. So ulakachtam lechem b'yom rishon, and that's if you're outside of the makom hamikdash. Usmachtam lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yomim. That's if you're lefnei Hashem. That's if you're in the makom hamikdash. L'chura, it's interesting, and I think we have to understand what's unique about the mitzvah of Dalet Minim that the Torah on a d'oraisa level said that there's a nafgamina if I'm taking the Dalet Minim in the Makom HaMikdash or if I'm taking the Dalet Minim outside of the Makom HaMikdash. So that if I'm in the Makom HaMikdash, I have a mitzvah d'oraisa for 7 days. But if I'm outside the Makom HaMikdash, I only have a mitzvah d'oraisa 1 day, ulekachtem lechem b'yom rishon. Meaning, where do you find that there's a nafgamina in a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa, whether I'm in the Makom HaMikdash or if I'm not in the Makom HaMikdash? Tefillin, it's the same tefillin if I'm in the Makom HaMikdash or if I'm not in the Makom HaMikdash. Shofar, it's the same shofar, l'chura, if I'm in the Makom HaMikdash or if I'm not in the Makom HaMikdash. Kriyishma, you have to say Kriyishma in the Makom HaMikdash. You have to say Kriyishma if you're outside of the Makom HaMikdash. Heichon Matzino, where do you find such an idea that you have a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa and for whatever reason the essence of the mitzvah changes completely if you're lefnei Hashem? If I'm outside of the Makom HaMikdash, ulekachtem lechem b'yom rishon, priyetzah the kapas mar banaf. But if I'm in lefnei Hashem, then it's usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekeichem shivas yomim. This is a mitzvah saseh d'oraisa, and the mitzvah changes whether I'm b'makom hamikdash or whether I'm outside of the makom hamikdash. B'nusach achar, lefnei Hashem, the makom hamikdash is a place of avoda. It's a place of karbonos. That's what's unique about the makom hamikdash. What does dalad minim have to do with bringing karbonos? What does it have to do with lefnei Hashem? Anoyla, achatos, ashlamim, atoida. These things, of course, akteres. So these are ideas and inyonim that we do in the makom hamikdash. But a mitzvah of dalad minim, manishtana lefnei Hashem, versus the gvulin that The mitzvah of Dalin Minim is the Eraisa 7 days Lefnei Hashem, but outside of Lefnei Hashem, it's only Lekachtam Lechem B'Yayim Arishin. And the truth is, if anything, you find just the opposite. There were many, many mitzvahs in the Torah that, for whatever reason, were off limits in the Makom HaMikdash. Ayin Erechin Daf Gimel, where the Gemara talks about it. The Kehanim was shatnez. We've spoken at many times the Oilos Ephraim, that the Oilos Ephraim said in the Beis HaMikdash there wasn't really Shabbos because they were bringing karbonos and there were a whole bunch of different things that were happening there. And you have different halachas where the Gemara even discusses whether these things were in the Mikdash, they weren't in the Mikdash. So if anything, the Makom HaMikdash is a place where there was less observance of mitzvahs. And here, when it comes to the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, you find to the contrary. Outside of the Makom HaMikdash, it's the Raisa one day. Lekachtam Lechem B'Yayim Arishin. But when you're in the Makom HaMikdash, it's Usmachtam Lefnei Elashem Alekechem Shivaz Yamin. But it could be the Pshat is the Gemara on Daf Tes Amid Aleph and on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis. Again, this is just bringing a whole bunch of things that we've learned together. Darshins Chaga Sukkas Tasa Lecha. L'cha l'me'ute gzula. So we have a pasuk that teaches us Chag HaSukkah Tasa L'cha, that you can't be yoytze the mitzvah of sukkah with a sukkah gzula. And Tosfos asks the kasha on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. He says, I don't understand. You need a pasuk to tell me that you can't fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah with a sukkah gzula. Typically, it's a mitzvah baba veira. And mitzvah baba veira is a general rule. It's a general concept. You can never do a mitzvah baba veira. So why do I need a special pasuk l'mute sukkah gzula? Typically, it's a mitzvah baba veira. So Tosfos is mechadish on Daf Tes Amud Aleph. That mitzvah baba veira is only a derabbanan. Mitzvah Baba Veru would say that midrabbanan I didn't fulfill the mitzvah. Midrashai did. Chag HaSukkas Tasa L'cha teaches me that I didn't even do the mitzvah midrashai. We spoke out the Mechas Chinuch, the mitzvah Shin Chafei, v'advorim matikim. But the Ritva, in Mesech Sukkah, on Daf Tes, Amid Aleph, and on Daf Lamid Aleph, Amid Beis, in the Sugya of Mitzvah Baba Veru, says a different teretz. I'm reading from the Ritva on Daf Lamid Aleph. The Ritva says, quote, the loyamrina mitzvah baba avera could be, you don't say mitzvah baba avera, ela bedavar shehu boler ratzos. Only if you're doing a mitzvah where the purpose of this mitzvah is it's boler ratzos. It's coming to be meratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's coming to bring us Yidden closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's coming to make us more merutzah in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Keep going. So what's an example of a mitzvah like that? A carbon. That's what a carbon is. A carbon is a reich nichayach. It's l'rotzoy lefnei Hashem. Shofar, says the Ritva, v'lulav, and lulav, ukayotze behem. Avol besukkah, she'em baritzoy, but by a sukkah where there's no ritzoy, leko mishon mitzvah abab aver. And the Ritva says this twice in the Sechtuch Sukkah. He says it on Daf Tes, and he says it again in the beginning of Lulav HaGazel on the sugya mitzvah abab aver. Now the Ritva has a problem with this, because the Ritva says that there's a Yerushalmi that discusses mitzvah abab aver in the context of matzah. Matzah shel tevel, matzah gzula, why isn't it a mitzvah abab aver? So the Ritva says, what's the Yerushalmi's kasha? Matzah is not a meratzah, it's not a dover sheyesh. It's a mitzvah, a very chashuv mitzvah, but all it is a mitzvah. So if it's a mitzvah, why is the mitzvah baba veira? So the Ritva says that from that Yerushalmi, it's not so mashma like he's saying. Meaning the svara that the only time you say mitzvah baba veira is if the mitzvah is a meratzah is not so mashma from matzah. But one thing you see in the Ritva klar, and this he never fell off of, and that is there's certain mitzvahs that are meratzah: karben, shofar, velulav. It's mavur in the Ritva that lulav is not just a mitzvah, but a lulav is a meratzah. The truth is, the Ritva says it twice in Masechta Sukkah, but the Rishonim say it as well in Masechta's Psachim Daf Lamed Hei in the sugya of Matzah Shel Tevel. Just to read two Rishonim from the Rishonim. So this is from the Rash Mishantz, who says, quote, Shani lulav shemahalalin boy umishapchin lamokoyin v'chein karbon. Lulav has mitzvah baba veira. It's coming to answer akasha because lulav is mahalulim boy. We praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the lulav. Umeshabchin lamok. The chen karbon, that's what carbon is. A carbon is the same thing. A carbon is something that comes to be miratza with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ramban in Mesachtas Psachim Daf Lamedei says, Shani lulav agazol, the mahalulim boy, umeshabchin boy, lefnei amokoyim, kidei loratzois boy. The chen carbon. And because it's like a carbon, therefore lulav, you have a sugya mitzvah baba veira in the beginning of Parak lulav agazol. Tavel. You don't have it in Pesachim. Everybody wonders why not Matzah Shal Tavel. You have it Dafka in Lulav HaGazel. Why is it in Lulav HaGazel? When you learn Sukkah, there's no Mitzvah B'Avair. When you learn Matzah Shal Tavel in Pesachim, no one knows about Mitzvah B'Avair. It's the biggest kasha with all the raid in the world. But the Gemara doesn't talk about Mitzvah B'Avair. So all the Rishonim, the Ritva said, and the Rashmi Shan said, and the Rabban said, and the Rashba says it, by the way, too, and the Maram Chalava says it as well. So the Gedolei Rishonim all had this Yisoid. And that is, Lulav maybe is different, because Lulav is not just a mitzvah. Lulav comes l'ratzos, that when a yid takes dalet minim, he somehow comes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's appeasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It makes the yid merutzah be'enei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because of that, maybe that's why this mitzvah baba there. So the Rishonim struggle. It is as far, it's not as far. But the Yisoy, there's no struggle on. And that is that dalet minim is unique in that it's not just a mitzvah, but dalet minim is a meratzah. And in the Rishonim, you see even more. It's a meratzah because through the dalet minim, we're mahalal and we're meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The truth is, this is all a mefurish Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is one line, but it's a mefurish Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is in the very beginning of Perek Lulav HaGazel. Lulav HaGazel v'hayovesh pasal. So why is a lulav hayovesh pasal? Says the Yerushalmi. Rab Abin b'shem Rab Yudah Bar Pazi said, hayovesh pasal al shem, because the pasuk says, loy hamesim yahaluluka. Loy hamesim yahaluluka. And a lulav hayovesh is a mace. And loy hamesim yahaluluka. It's mavur in the Yerushalmi what the Rishonim are saying. And that is, the lulav isn't just a cheftza shal mitzvah. The lulav is a mahalav. It's a meratzah. It's like a carbon. Sounds like it might be like a carbon toida. You're being mahalal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the point is, it's a carbon. And that's why a lulav hayovesh is possible, because of lo yamesim yahaluluka. But I think it's pasha, lefi this ritva, and lefi the Rashba, and the Rashmi Shans, and the Ramban, and the Maram Chalava. And it's really rooted in the Yerushalmi, that a lulav is like a carbon. It's meratzah, and that's why there's a sugya of mitzvah baba veira in the beginning of Perek Lulav HaGazel, and not in the when we're dealing with matzahs of iser, and not with a sukkah gezula, because it's tafka dumya de carbon, right? What's the makarta mitzvah baba veira? Carbon. And when it's dumya de carbon, it's only over there that you have the halacha mitzvah baba veira. So it's half of a fellow, maybe, why it is that you find the mitzvah of dalet minim tafka in the Beis HaMikdash. Because dalet, the makam HaMikdash is the makam of where a person does things to be merutza by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the makam of karbonos. So if the dalet minim are on some level like a carbon, so that's why ulekachtam lechem b'yom rishon, outside of the Beis HaMikdash is only one day. Aval lefnei Hashem, why should the Dalet Minim be different in the Makam HaMikdash? If anything, by mitzvahs, it's just the opposite. We find there was much less observance of mitzvahs in the Makam HaMikdash. The Teretz says, because Dalet Minim is like a carbon, like the Rishonim say. Oh, if it's like a carbon, half of a fella. This is the Makam where you're supposed to bring karbanas. And that's why, usmachtem lefnei Hashem alekechem shivas yamin. Balulei de mistafina. Lulei de mistafina. Maybe we can add one knetch. And that is, the truth is, Tosfos here in Perek Lulav HaGazel says that this idea of the lulav being mahalel HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kemat mefurish in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Vehechan hayu menanim." When were the nanuim done with the lulav? Meaning, there's a mitzvah to do nanuim with the lulav. So we spoke at earlier in the Masechta a question of the nanuim deiraisa, the rabbanon, the chasam soifers kasha, and daf membeis. So there's rate about this, but for sure there's a mitzvah to do nanuim. And when were the nanuim done? They were done during challah. That's when the nanuim were done. So a shaila, haydu l'Hashem kitayv, on Hashem l'shiyana. What about on Hashem atzlichana, machlekes b'shaim b'sil? But when was it all done? It was all done during Halal. Tais says why? So Tais says because the pasuk says, "Oz yiranenu atzei hayar milifnei Hashem kivo lishpoi ta'aretz." That's what Tais says. It's a gather of "Oz yiranenu atzei hayar." So when you do the nanuim is "Oz yiranenu atzei hayar." These are the atzei hayar. You're holding talid minim. These are things that grow in a field, and they're all being meranin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's this idea of doing the nanuim b'shas halal, because when you do the nanuim, you're being meranin HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, we have this idea that when a person takes the talid minim, it's miratza. It's like a carbon. It has the effect that a carbon has. It's a geder of being mahalo and mishabeach and being mekalei sakadosh baruch hu. And somehow it's most manifest b'shas denanuim. Denanuim we stafke do during halo, because denanuim is part and parcel of the halo. It's oz yiranu nuansei ayar milifnei Hashem kivol lishpoit haaretz. So I think this is very, very sussum. What exactly is going on over here? So maybe we can suggest. We mentioned earlier in the parak that the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, Mechaber brings in Simit Tov Reish Nun Aleph, that when you do the Nanuim, you're supposed to be Mechaber, you're supposed to take the Esrig and bring it together with the Lulav, the Hadas, and the Arav. Tzorich Lechaber Ha Esrig Lulav B'Shas Nanuim. Ulinaneya B'Shneim B'Yachem. And you're supposed to do it together. And we mentioned that there's two reasons that are given in the Achreina for this minute. One is the Vilna Goyim that we spoke about in the Bir Agra. And the other is what the Taz brings, B'Shem de Beis Yosef, who quotes the Rekenadi, the Rakanti, who said a Dover Nifla. He said, Soid Zen Nigla Ilai B'Chaloyim. The Rakanti said, I'm the source to this, and I'm going to tell you how I know it. It was revealed to me in a dream. And that is, the Rakanti had a guest that was staying by him, some Yid that came from Ashkenaz. And he was staying by him for Sukkot. And the first night of Sukkot, the Rakanti has a dream. And in the dream, he sees this Yid who came to him. He calls him Rabbi Yitzchak. And he was a cipher. He was a scribe. And he was writing the Shem Hashem. And he wrote the Yud, and then he wrote the Hey, and then he wrote the Vav. And then he wrote another Hey. But the other Hey that he wrote was very, very far away. And he started yelling at this Rabbi Yitzchak. He said, what are you doing? So he says, oh, where I come from, kach noyagim b'mkoymenu. This is the way we do it. V'ani mochisi boy. And I yelled at him, v'kos naftiv sholem. And I went and I wrote the yudke vavke, and I put it all together. V'eshtoymim alamar. And he said, I woke up middle of the night, I was schwitzing, I couldn't understand this dream. V'ein maven. L'mocha, he said, the next day, ro'isi, I saw this Yid Rabbi Yitzchak, and he took the dal minim. He was holding the lulav in one hand, had the esrog on the other hand. He was doing the nanuim only with the lulav, with the eged, so the three minim got the nanuim, but the esrog didn't get there. And then he understood what was going on over here. He realized that was something that he wasn't supposed to do, and he realized sorech lechabra esrog lelulav. And that's what they were showing him with the four oisiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the four minim, the dalet minim, have to be together. And then the Rakanti said, but what are you going to ask me? What do the four minim have to do with the four oisiyas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does the mashal have to do with the nimshal? So the Rakanti said, it's a mefurish and medrash. It's a medrash in Parshas Emor with a Medrash says that why is it that we take these four minim? So pre Eitz Hadar says the Medrash, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shekasu boi hoid v'hadal v'ashto. Kapis tmarim we take, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shekasu boi tzadik atome yifrach. V'anaf Eitz Avoy, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dichsiv v'oim b'bein ha'adasim. V'arvi nocha, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dichsiv v'soilu l'roichev, b'arovay spekashmoy. So he said it's a Medrash that the four minim represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the four minim represent the Yud and the K and the Vav and the K. And by him, doing the Nanuim in this way, this was shown to me in a dream, as if he was writing the four Eisnias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu separately, and that was the idea of, it has to be together, and that's how I know the Salach. And the Beis Yosef brought this Rakanti, and he paskin this way in Shulchan Aruch, Tzorech Lechaber HaEsrog Leluv, B'Shas Nanuim, because by doing that, what you're essentially doing is you're taking the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're being Mechaberet. So the Nanuim of the four Eisnias of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an idea, it's an inyan, it's an element, al pi pnimiyas haTorah, based on a medrash of taking the shem yudke vavke, which is sometimes separate, and bringing it together and making it one. So there was a Gemara that came to mind. And the Gemara is a Masechtas Brachos, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. It's one of the first Gemaras you learn in Shas, and that is Tanya. It's kedai to go through the Gemara. I'm Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi said, "Pam machas oisi mahalach baderech." He said, "I was once traveling. V'nechnasti lechurva achas michurves Yerushalayim lespal, and I entered churva achas michurves Yerushalayim. I wanted to daven. Boli ozach latoiv. Elyonov, he came to me v'shamali ala pesach, and he waited for me until I finished daven. Achshesiyamtet filos. When I finished davening, Amalisa, he told him, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. He said, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Amartile, I told him, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umar. For Amalisa, and he told him, Bini, my son, Bnei Manich Nasa Lechurva. Zu, why do you enter this Churva? Amartile, I told him, Lespala. For Amalisa, he told me, Hoylecha Lespala Baderech. He said, you should have just davened on the side of the road. For Amartile, I told him, Siora, Yisisham Yafsik Bayevi Drachim. I was afraid maybe I can interrupt. For Amalisa, he told me, Hoylecha Lespala Tfila Kitzara. You should have said a Tfila Kitzara. But Issa Shalom, Madati Mimenu Shloishadvar. So Rabbi Yosi said, I learned from this kind conversation with El Yonabi three things. Number one, I learned that you're not supposed to enter Churva, because that was the first question he asked me. I learned that there's an idea you're allowed to daven on the side of the road, because that was the second thing he asked me. El Yonabi said, why didn't you daven on the side of the road? Additionally, Rabbi Yosef said, I learned if someone davens on the side of the road, because he told me you should have davened the Tefillah Ketzara. But then El Yonabi continued, and he said, Bini, my son, he's talking to Rabbi Yosi. He said, Ma kol shamata v'churvazu. Tell me, when you were in the churva, what did you hear? Amarti lo, I told him, shamati baskal. I heard a baskal, shemina hemes k'yoyna. It had the most beautiful voice. It sounded like a yoyna. Vaymeres, and it said, oy lebonim, woe to my children, shabavoyna yiseyim, because of their sins, hechrafti es beisi, I destroyed my beis hamikdash, visarafti es echoli, I burnt the hechol, v'iglisam levena umois, and I sent them into gods. Amali, so Rabbi Yosi said, Yonav, he told me, chayecho v'chayei roishcho. He said, a shvua, loishozu bevadoi meres, that's not the only time that this baskel happens. Meaning, this is not a one-time baskel that you heard. Ella, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, sholish pomem my meres kach. 3 times a day, this baskel could be heard. And then Eliyahu continued, and he said, "V'loizu b'vad." Not just that. El b'shosh Yisrael nechnasin l'bati knesses l'bati bedrashes. Every time the Yidden enter the Beis Haknesses and the Beis Hametrash, va'oinim, and they say, "Yehei shmei Rabba mevarach l'olam liyom meomayim." Hakadosh Baruch Hu menanei roishay. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shakes his head. Va'oimer, and he says, "Ashrei hamelech shemekalsen oisay beveisay." Praised is the king shemekalsen oisay beveisay. Maloi la'av shehiglo es banav. Why did the father? Why did I have to send my children into Golus? For Oilem Lebanim, and woe to the children, Shagolu me al Shulchan Avim, woe to the children that were sent into Golus, they had to leave their father's house. So this is the Gemara, a classic Gemara, a very, very well-known Gemara. But we're going to focus on the end of the Gemara. That Eliyahu Navi told Rabbi Yosi that every single time the Yidden enter the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis Medrash, and they say, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Lo'olam Uliol Me'omayo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Menanei Roishoi, and he says, quote, Ashrei HaMelech Shemikalsen Oisoi Beveisoi Kach. Praised is the Melech Shemikalsen Oisoi Beveisoi Kach. They used to be praised in the Beis Hamikdash. This was after the Churban. But praised is the Melech that used to be praised this way. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, why did I destroy the Beis Hamikdash? Ma'loi la'ov she'igla esbonov v'oilam lebonim shegolu me'al shulchan avim. So when Klai Yisrael says, Amin Yehesh Mei Rabba, it triggers this reaction, Kavi Yochel, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he starts remembering the Beis Hamikdash. And he says, Ashrei HaMelech she'mekalsen oisa beveis. Remember, there was once a Beis Hamikdash, and in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to say, Yehesh Mei Rabba mevarach l'olam l'olam. And boy, do I miss that. And Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oisa Beveisoi, why did I destroy the Beis HaMikdash? I could have had this kilos all along. Why in the world did I destroy the Beis HaMikdash? So what is Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach L'Olam Ol Omei Omei mean? We had it in today's daf, ironically. But what does Yehei Shmei Rabba mean? So it's Yudua that Tosfos and the Torah brings us in Shulchan Aruch, brings two pshatim. But we're going to mention one, the Machzeh Vitri. The Machzeh Vitri says that when a Yid says Yehei Shmei Rabba, what he's saying is, Yehei Shmei, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Rabba. Because when Klal Yisrael's in Golos, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is incomplete. Like the Pasuk says, Ki Yad Al Keis Ka, that in Golos, as long as a Molech exists, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only Ka. It's Yud and then it's Eh. But Ein Shmoi Shalom Ve'en Kisoi Shalom Ad Shei Yimach Yizarish Al Molech. Then when Mashiach is going to come, then the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be complete. So said the Machzeh Vitri, Yehei Shmei, Yehei Shem Ka, Shmei Yeshin Mem Yud He, Yehei Shem Ka Rabba, may the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be Rabba, it should be complete, it should be Mevarach, La'olam Uliol Me'omaya. Yehei Shmei Rabba is a tefillah of us telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want that the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be complete. When Klal Yisrael says, Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevorach, when Klal Yisrael says, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menanei Roishoi, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oisoi Beveisoi Kach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is the greatest praise possible. Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oisoi Beveisoi Kach. And not just that, he remembers the fact that we had this praise when we were in the Beis HaMikdash. So I was thinking, the way the Taz brings from the Beis Yosef, it brings from the Rekanti. That what's the inyan of taking the Dalet Minim and bringing them together? It's taking the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yud and the K and the Vav and the K, and being mechaber them. So in essence, when we take the Yud K Vav K, this is the greatest expression of Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevarach L'Olam L'Yom Me'omayu. Yeheshmei Rabbah is the Shem Kosher be complete. That's what we do when we take the Dalit. That was the dream that the Rakanti had, that he wrote the Yud Kevav and then the Hey was somewhere else. But by bringing them together, by being Mechaber them together, what do we have? Now we have Yud Kevav Ke. That's a Kiyum of Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevarach L'Olam L'Yom Me'omayu. What did Eibush to say? What does Hashem say when he hears Yeheshmei Rabbah? Ashrei HaMelech Shemikalsen Oysoi Beveisoi Kach. Yeheshmei Rabbah is the greatest kilos that there is in the whole world. This is the greatest kilos. I am Besvarim HaKadoshim. The greatest shvach is that you can say that you want the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we're davening for Yichud HaElyon. That's the Oziran and Uatzei Ayar. That's the Mahalal and Meshabchin. That's where this comes from. What's the Mahalal and the Meshabchin? The Mahalal and the Meshabchin is the fact that it's Yeheshmei Rabbah. It's the Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen HaYisechach. Where was the Iker Yeheshmei Rabbah? It was in the Beis HaMikdash. Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oysoi Beveisoi Kach. Rashmi. Ashrei Kozmancho Yekilu Zeh Betoich Beis HaMikdash. That's why we take the Dalim Minim 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. One day Begvulin, but 7 days in the Beis HaMikdash. Because the Iker Mokoi for Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevorach was the Beis HaMikdash. Because that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's reaction. Ashrei HaMelech Shemekalsen Oysoi Beveisoi Kach. You know, the Gemara says in Lulav HaGazel that one of the Amiram, he would take the Dalim Minim, and when he did the Nanuim, what would he say? He would say, Dein Geira Be'ena De Sitna. This, he was poking the eyes of the Satan. As if when you take Dalim Minim, this is some powerful attack of the Satan. Like the Satan, all of a sudden, like, is frozen. Why? Because you just took the Dalim Minim. Maybe that's the Pshat. We know the Gemara, Chazal say this so many times, that if somebody says, Yeheshmei Rabbah B'chol Koichoi, it's Koiron Loi Gzardinoi. Tosis brings in Shabbos, Kuf Yotes Amid Beis, that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha said, Kishi Yisrael Nechnasan L'bati Knesias, V'oimim Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevarech B'korah, Mevatling Zeris Koshes. The Satan wakes up in the morning, his job is to bring Zeris Koshes. That's why he's called the Satan. He's Mastin. He's the Mekatrik. That's what the Satan is. So when the Yid says Yeheshmei Rabbah, somehow that disarms the Satan. When we take Dalet Minim, it's an expression of Yichud Elyon. It's an expression of taking the Yud Kei Vav Kei together, and that's why it has the ability of Dein Geira Be'enu the Sitna. It's Mevatel Gzeres Koshes, because that's what Yeheshmei Rabbah does. Yeheshmei Rabbah has that Koyach. It has that Koyach to be Mevatel the Gzeres Koshes. And maybe, that's why this all plays out b'shas d'nanuim. Because like the Gemara says, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menaneya Roisha. And all the Sfarim talk about, what does this mean? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menaneya Roisha, and it's so far above our pay grade to even begin to think we can have an understanding of what it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menaneya is Roisha. Now, maybe that's why when we take the Dal Minim and we bring them together, and like the Taz brings from the Bisi Yosef, brings from the Rakanti, that taking the Dal Minim together is making the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sholem. It's an physical expression of Yehei Shmei Rabbah Mevarach L'Olam U'Liyomei Omayo. So what do? We take the Dal Minim and we menanei the Rosh of the Dal Minim. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah Mevarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menaneya Es Roshah. And again, we have no idea what this means. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menaneya and Roshah. And on some level, we take the Dalet Minim, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Medrash says. Because every single one of the four Minim represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Yud and the K and the Vav and the K. And it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We take the Dalet Minim and we Menaneya to symbolize this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Menaneya Es Roshoi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's maskim to what we're doing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shuckles the cup, kaviyochel, and says, yes, 100%, nichamtonu. And you're right, malei la'av, shehigla es banav, oilam lebanav, shegolam yal shulchan avim. And this is something that brings out such a tremendous ahava, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu regrets, and he has charata, he's mamish mischarit on Churban Beis HaMikdash. That's something that happens when Klal Yisrael says Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah. Maybe that's something that happens when the Yid takes the Dalet Minim. But I'll call upon him, the Dalet Minim is not just a mitzvah. Dalet Minim has a koyach of a korban. It has a koyach to be mahal and to be meranin HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some fantastic way, in this incredible, incredible way. And maybe the Dalet Minim actually has a connection to the tefillah of Amen Yeheshmei Rabbah, which the Gemara says so epically in Brachas Daf Gimel Amar Aleph, is the spitz kilos that a yid can say. And when we say Amen Yeheshmei Rabbe, it brings out, it invokes emotion, and it evokes charata kaviyacha, like the Sfarim say on Churban Beis Hamikdash. Maybe that's something that happens when we take the Dalet Minah.